And I think maybe if you were either in Oklahoma City or saw the videos during that conference, you know that this is a real burden right now in the Lord's recovery. And actually, I think it's very good that you sisters stopped what you normally were considering. And actually, the church stopped. We stopped our normal morning revival. And actually, I heard a brother share it just a couple days ago. It's good. The whole church just stop and consider afresh, anew. How about not only our prayer, but even the prayer specifically in the way of a prayer, the prayer ministry of the church. So tonight we'd like to consider that a little bit more. And I know we just heard, if you participated in that conference, we heard six messages from the brothers. And I heard recently on the audio, there's been a couple more messages shared on this. So I know the brothers are really burdened on this matter of prayer. And so it's really good for us to consider. And I think it was shared during the conference. It's good to even open to the Lord as a learner. Right? Not assuming. I know how to pray. I've been praying for so long. I know how to pray. You know? But we should be like the disciples. The disciples said, Lord, teach us. Teach us how to pray. Amen. Right? That should be our attitude. We want to learn. And I think if we're honest, maybe many of us would testify, we don't really know that much how to really pray and stand with the Lord in the way of the ministry of prayer. Maybe most of us are just used to knowing how to pray in the way of just fellowshipping with the Lord. But there's a difference. You know, you wake up in the morning, and we should. That's not the prayer ministry. That's not the work. In fact, I read George Mueller's biography. George Mueller said when he first got up in the morning, he used to just start working right away. His work was the prayer ministry. So he would just start to pray right away for this matter and this person and that person. But he said he just got so dry. And eventually, he just felt like it was very, very difficult for him to go on. Then somehow, the Lord brought him to the Word. And he, actually, you read his testimony, is basically he discovered pray reading. You know, he discovered how to, he said he just stopped. He stopped his working. He stopped all his interceding. He laid it all aside and just came to the Lord to touch the Lord and enjoy him. And he did it by coming to the Word and just said he would just read a little bit and then pray. And then read a couple more and then he would be anointed and he would pray a little bit more. And it's exactly what prayer reading is, right? And he said all of a sudden his prayer got completely changed. And he learned how to be supplied and how to have a real joy and rejoicing and supply in his morning time with the Lord. And then eventually, once there was a supply and the fullness, then he was able to begin to intercede, right? To intercede for others. So, but most of us, I think, are on the other side. We know how to pray, read, and we know how to be supplied, and we know how to come to the Lord and read the morning revival and pray and have some eating and drinking and breathing of Christ and be supplied in the morning. And then we quit. That's it. That's it for the day. And we say, I prayed, and I'm done. I did the morning revival, and I'm nourished, I'm satisfied, and that's it, you know. But actually, what we've been reading here in Chicago this last week, and what we heard during the conference, is that the Lord wants to raise up some who not only are supplied and are in the enjoyment, but who learn to seek Him and His will and begin to pray, Lord, what about Your will? And, you know, this week at the back of the morning revival in Chicago, we put the items for prayer. And I don't know if you typically pray for those matters. You know, it's very easy, like Jeff shared here this morning, to pray, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, fill me. Lord, I want to feed on you, and I want to enjoy you today. And it's pretty much for me. And then, of course, you know, most of us like to pray for those right around us immediately, especially our family members. But you think about, you read those items on the list. Have you ever prayed for the propagation of the ministry of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee for the building up of the body of Christ? You say, well, that's different. I don't know if I ever was really that burdened to pray for that, right? Or have you ever prayed for the spreading of the church life to other cities, that there would be golden lampstands in other cities around the earth, right? Maybe in a prayer meeting. But how about, is this your burden at all in your daily life? You know, our burden is, Lord, what about my son? What about my daughter? Right? What about, Lord, my job? What about my finances? Lord, what about this? Very personal matters. And, you know, we read this week, we should pray for our personal matters. So it's not wrong to pray for your matters personally. If you don't pray for your own kids, probably who will? Right? We should all pray for our own kids. Right? But if that's all we ever pray for, how can the Lord's will be done on the whole earth? Right? He has grand things. Not that our kids are not grand, big matters. They're important to the Lord. And there's a verse, I always enjoy the verse, says, Lord said, it matters to me concerning you. Amen. So each one of us, we do matter to the Lord. And our personal situations do matter. And our children do matter. Right? But the Lord also needs some who on the whole earth is not only praying for themselves and their own families and their own needs and their own situations, but praying that the Lord would come back. Amen. Right? Praying for the Lord's kingdom to come. Amen. Right? And anyway, just this week, it just starts to touch me that, you know, we're very self-centered for our own needs and for our own situations. And if you go down that list, you find out, I don't normally pray for these matters. Right? And you think, oh, it's kind of church, big recovering matters. You know, I like to pray for my fellowship with the Lord. I like to pray the Lord would grow in me. I like to pray for, you know, my kids and this and that. But we have to pray. We have to seek the Lord. What about your will? Right? Who's praying that a church would be raised up in Bloomington, Illinois, right? Or Grand Rapids, Michigan, right? Or in Fargo, North Dakota. Some on earth have to pray that the Lord's will would be done. So anyway, this is what we're talking about. We want to enter into and begin to learn how to pick up the Lord's burdens for more than just the things that we're concerned about ourselves personally, but learn to pray the prayer ministry of the church and for the Lord's will and for the Lord's kingdom. So even you see in Matthew, when the disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray, almost immediately the Lord said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. He didn't say right away, well, pray first, pray for your wife, and then pray for your children, and then pray for your grandchildren, and then pray for, you know, so-and-so who's lost his job, and then pray for this and pray for that. Okay, doesn't mean we don't care about all those things. We do. But who's praying for the kingdom? right? Who's praying that the Lord's will would be done on the earth, right? So you think about it. We hope, you know, there's one website called Age Turners, and it's for the young people. And you think about this. Just think about this for a minute. Maybe you might be alive when the Lord returns, but you might not, right? But, you know, we all hope maybe the Lord will come back in our lifetime. But wouldn't it be great? It's a fact. There will be one generation that will be here and will pray and will see it happen that the Lord comes back in their lifetime, right? And we're praying, right? Who's going to turn the age? Who's going to really pray and desire desperately the Lord would come back in their lifetime? We're hoping, if it's not us, at least we hope it's our next generation, our children, right? So we like to raise up the young people. We call them the age turners. They're going to turn the age. So you think about it. If a young person grows up and his primary prayer is not only, Lord, who am I going to marry? Right? What job, what career am I going to have? Lord, provide for me. Okay, these are all necessary prayers. But you think if there is something in their hearts that they pray greater, even greater than this, Lord, when are you going to come back? Lord, we want you to come back. Even if I don't get married, even if I don't have a good career, even if you come back, right, before I have children, some generation is good. This is going to happen to, right? So, anyway, we want to learn how to cooperate with the Lord. And the brothers shared, I really like this one statement the brothers made in the conference. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord used you in his plan, in his purpose? You know, it's not wrong to desire that we would all be useful to the Lord, right? And the brother said, what if you got to be at least one time in your lifetime be a stepping stone for the Lord's coming back, right? That the Lord was able to use you to further, a little bit further, his coming, you know? So, anyway, we should all desire, we want to be a stepping stone. Lord, step on me, right? Use me to be one who brings you back a little closer, right? So, anyway, we need to learn how to pray, not just for fellowship with the Lord, and not only to intercede for our own personal matters, but there needs to be some on this earth who are taking up the prayer ministry to pray for the Lord's interest, what's on the Lord's heart, for his kingdom, for his will. Okay? So, in the Bible, we have some prayers in the Bible, and there's some very good prayers. You could spend weeks or months just studying some of the prayers in the Bible. And, you know, Brother Lee has a couple books called The Two Greatest Prayers in the Bible, The Two Greatest Prayers of the Apostle Paul. Of course, we know that those are in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. Those are the two greatest prayers, okay? Well, tonight we're not studying those. But we're going to look at, since this is a sisters' gathering, we'd like to look at some women in the Bible. And actually, when I was starting to work on this, I was thinking of different women. There's so many good examples. In fact, the brothers, you know, in the conference, they used the example in the conference of a sister that we don't think about too much. Is a sister named Hannah in the Old Testament. You know, and I asked Jim a couple days ago, was Hannah praying really to change the age? Or was she praying for her to have a baby? Right? Basically, she was praying for her need. She wanted to be fruitful. She wanted to have a child. But her heart was bigger than just to have a baby for herself. She told the Lord. I don't know if she got, maybe she did, I don't know if she did that initially, or maybe she kept not having a child, and then eventually said, okay, Lord, give me a child. I'll give him back to you, right? But eventually, her prayer, she was beside herself, right? And the Bible says, even Eli came around, and he thought she was drunk, right? Because her lips kept moving, and he couldn't see or hear anything coming out. And he thought she had been drinking, and he was offended why she would do that around the temple or something, you know. But she was just beside herself. But her prayer and her consecration really afforded the Lord to bring in Samuel. And Samuel was such a great one, and he became a priest and a judge and brought in the kingship. He turned the age, right? So anyway, that's a very good example in the Old Testament, but tonight maybe we'll look at five women in the New Testament, okay? And it's very interesting. The first one is an older woman. Hard to say she's even a New Testament sister. She's basically still in the Old Testament age. And she was a widow and 84 years old. Maybe, how about all you sisters read those verses there, Luke 2. Oh yeah, do you all have a copy? Sorry. Everybody got a copy of the sheet?
Who doesn't have a copy?
Anybody not have one? Okay, Amy. Here's one here, Amy. Anybody else does not have one? Back there. Nora, do you have any more? Okay, I got two or three more here. Anybody else?
Polly.
Everybody got them? Okay, how about let's read that little portion there under Anna. Let's read together.
And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was well advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow up to the age of 84, who did not depart from the temple, serving
Okay, actually this story is a kind of a continuation. There were two older saints who were there at the temple, and they were very much given to the Lord and praying and waiting for the Lord's first coming. Okay, and that was Simeon, an older man or older brother, and Anna. This older sister, older woman. Okay? So, actually, Simeon, you talk about being a stepping stone. He was there just serving. He was a prophet. And it was revealed to him that he would not die until he would see the Lord's coming. That was his hope and his prayer and his heart's desire. And it happened. You know, when they brought Jesus to the temple right after his birth, right? He got to see him, Simeon. I don't know if he held him or he got to, anyway, he got to see him. And then when he saw him, Simeon, I you have to look it up exactly, but he basically said something like, okay, that's it. I'm ready to go. He was useful. He was useful to the Lord. For the Lord's coming, the Lord's first coming. He prayed, he hoped, he waited, and he got to see. The Lord actually came, and he saw, and he not only saw, but he knew. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. that this was the Christ. And then he said he had seen the salvation of Jehovah, and he was satisfied, and he was ready to depart. Okay? And then it says, at that very hour. So Anna was right there. She was with him. She was also spent her days and nights around the temple. Okay? And what did she do? She was there serving God. And if you read the footnote says serving as a priest or in a priestly service. So you think about it. Anna, officially or technically, she was not a priest. She could not be a priest. And she could not go into the holy place and the holy of holies. She could not burn the incense. Okay, but the Bible says she was serving God as a priest. She bore the priestly service. So who are the real priests? We know Zechariah at the beginning of the New Testament. He was the one who went in and prayed, right, in the temple. But there were some who were also praying who were outside. They were in the temple grounds, and they were praying. So at least the Bible accounts Anna's prayer as very significant. Right? She was there serving as a priest. So I think the brothers have talked about before, like in Revelation, there's witnesses, faithful witnesses. And Brother Lee shared, these may be, and they may not be, the elders of the churches. It's not official. Who are the burning ones? Are the real witnesses, right? So anyway, she was not officially a priest, but she was a real priest. She was one who came before God and burned the incense. She was praying for the Lord's coming. So I think one thing is very enjoyable here is, first of all, she's older. And this reminded me of that book Brother Lee had in years ago. It's called All Ages for the Lord's Recovery. Okay? And you know, Brother Lee talked about, even I looked this up in the life study, he said, okay, this sister Anna, she was not Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and the disciples. She was not called by the Lord to be one of the disciples. She didn't go around with the Lord for 3.5 years and got involved with everything and was so active and did this and that. No, she did not. Okay? She was older. But does not mean that she was not necessary and not useful. And I remember actually during the 70s, Brother Lee shared a lot about younger ones need to go to the campuses and need to go and reach out in the propagation. And actually, last couple of years, you know, we have these GTCA cities. I've gone, and it's mostly younger ones who really rise up. And actually, I'm glad it's younger ones because it's not easy. Right, it takes a lot of energy to go out on the street and go out to the campus and preach the gospel and pass out tracts and talk to people and go and day and night and go. Okay, anyway, that's a great, great function, but that's not the only function in the church life, right? And so we need ones like Anna who are older. And what did she do? She was so useful to the Lord, exercising. You could say, maybe they didn't call it that at this time, but she was basically exercising the prayer ministry. Amen. Right? So, older ones can be so useful. One time, you know, I got to visit Taiwan, and we went on a tour of many cities throughout Taiwan from one place to another. And one of the cities we visited actually reminded me a lot of Chicago. It was called Kaohsiung. And probably Lily knows where that is. And it's kind of in the south. And it's a pretty industrial place. And we went there, and we were getting ready to leave. And we got on the bus. All of a sudden, all these older saints, older brothers and sisters, all came out of the meeting hall and all lined up on the sidewalk and all just waved to us. And it was so touching. Here we were, younger, you know, but to see all these saints, I said, where did these saints come from? They were all in the meeting hall, you know. Anyway, I don't know. I'm sure they had some enjoyment and maybe doing other things, but I'm also sure they probably were praying, right? Exercising the prayer ministry of the church. So this doesn't mean that only older ones can exercise this prayer ministry, but older ones can be very faithful patterns, right, to the Lord. And anyway, I think it's a very good example that sometimes we think, you know, well, once you reach a certain age, you can't do a whole lot. You know, you can't run around on the street too much, pass out. You can't go on the campus, you know, and the young people look at you like, who are you? And anyway, we shouldn't think that, you know, in the Lord's eyes, age matters. Actually, there's not too many probably that could be as free as this sister was. In fact, the brother shared during the Oklahoma City conference, I think Brother Andrew said, he'd been considering a lot. What did Watchman Nee do the last 20 years of his life when he was sitting in prison? Right? We appreciate, I've been reading lately Watchman Nee's collected works, some of his writings, and so great. You know, his ministry in the Word was so great. But we don't think somebody just sitting in prison praying is so high, right? You think somebody writing or somebody speaking or somebody going out preaching the gospel or traveling, you know, to raise up churches, that's really a great, great work. But you think of somebody just sitting in one place all the time just praying, we don't think of it that highly. But actually, the brother shared, this may have been his highest ministry, was to pray for the Lord's will to be done. And we don't know how many matters he brought to the Lord in his prayer. Okay, so how about Anna? She was focused. No doubt she loved the Lord. She pursued. She was waiting for Christ. She was occupied with this one burden for the Lord's first coming, and she prayed. And it's a fact, she did this day and night. So what impresses me was her time was set apart for the Lord. And Bill has reminded us of this lately. Serving involves time. Okay? So Paul told us, we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Sometimes it's a real sacrifice just to stop yourself, quit, stop running around, being so busy, doing this, doing that. I need to stop for a little while. Of course, not everybody is an older widow that maybe is much more free and doesn't have a whole, maybe as many responsibilities. But I think that instead of just looking at it, well, she's an older widow, she's got all kinds of time. She doesn't have a job, she doesn't have any kids, she doesn't have any grandkids, she doesn't have a house probably, she doesn't have this. She's free as a bird, okay? But I think another way of looking at it is we should learn she gave herself, she set aside time, right? So it's good to set some time apart. You might not have as much time as this older widow. Maybe you're working, maybe you got kids, maybe you go going crazy and all kinds of responsibilities and things to take care of. But it's still good to fight, to stop, and to set aside some time. All right. Actually, one time we were in Milwaukee, we were fellowshipping with the saints about our morning time. And we had different ones are just sharing. Let's just talk about how really is your morning time? How is it? You know, is it really enjoyable every morning? Is it hard? You find it hard to get up? Do you do this regularly, or is it kind of hit and miss for you, or is it just no problem? Anyway, one brother testified. He said his morning time was pretty regular. He did it every morning, had a time with the Lord every morning, and he said he pretty much, he felt like he really touched the Lord every day, every morning, during his morning time, and it was very enjoyable. He said, but he has one problem, though. This is a doctor, brother. He says, my problem is I like to multitask. So, you know, he gets out his phone, and he's praying and enjoying Christ, and then answering his email and sending a text. And then he goes back to the morning revival, enjoy the Lord. Oh, yeah, right in the scene. Anyway, I told Debbie I could relate to that brother a lot. You know, I used to sometimes go into I have a little office room. If I sit down there to have morning watch and turn the computer on, I'm finished. It just does not work, right? But my phone is just about as deadly as a computer, because I can get email and text on here, and even I can get the latest news on here, right? So anyway, the matter of being focused sometimes is a matter of just separating yourself, turning off everything. Actually, Jim and I went last week. We went to this camp for a couple days. One hand, it was hard because my phone didn't work at all. I got no reception there. But it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. So, anyway, it's good to set aside some time. Just turn everything off and give the time to the Lord to pray. Okay, so the next one, instruments. God needs some dispensational instruments to pray for his coming. This is exactly what Anna did. We maybe never thought she was an dispensational instrument. The Lord used her to come back, right? So, I don't know, my mind thinks, Lord, would you have come at that time anyway? You know, everything's pretty well set. But if you read the life studies, Brother Lee said no. He needed ones like Simeon. He needed Anna. He needed different ones. He needed Mary to cooperate, to give herself, to be subject. He needed the human cooperation on the earth. So how do we know? The Lord may want to come back earlier than you think, but he's still waiting, right? It's not necessarily at a certain date and point in time. Lord's coming, and that's it, regardless whether you pray, you don't pray, it doesn't matter, he's coming. You know, this week we heard the Lord is waiting for some on the earth to agree with him, and he will not move until he has some on the earth praying and agreeing with him. So possibly he's waiting, some even desiring, Lord, come. Right? Come, Lord Jesus. How many of us are praying, Lord, when are you going to come, Lord? Right? We can be a dispensational instrument for the Lord's coming. Okay, then location. The fact is, I don't know, we were trying to figure out, did she live right around there? Or she lived in one of the rooms in the chambers of the temple? Did she live nearby or what? But anyway, the fact is, she came to the temple to pray. She had a place. So it's good. Brother shared this during the conference. It's good to have a place, if possible. Either your room, you know, or your office, or your basement, or your attic, or, you know, some people can pray in the park or wherever, but do you have a place? A place is good. You can say, well, the Bible says, New Testament, we should pray in our spirit. That's true. But we still need a little environment, some place to be, right? In our closet. So, actually, I heard Monroe sharing this week, He said, you know, you read the Bible, Paul said he bowed his knee. All right? And Brother Lee said when those brothers prayed in 1962, they bowed their knees. They prayed on their knees. Okay? Maybe you wouldn't feel that comfortable. I don't know if I'd feel that comfortable. Go down to the park here and pray on my knees. All right? So maybe you need some private place where you can pray and even voice out what's on your heart and voice out your concerns and your interceding and seek the Lord. Lord, your will be done. And maybe even crying out someplace in private where you can really release your prayer. So location is good. Then service. We mentioned that she served. Sisters can serve as priests before God with petitions. Right? The priest went in, the Old Testament, went in with stones on the breastplate. So it's good if we go in before the Lord and have some burdens that the Lord has given to us. I think Victor read this morning. What is prayer? Prayer is the Lord speaks to you what is on his heart, and then you take that and speak it to God. Amen. Right? So maybe the Lord has touched you to pray for someone in particular. Maybe even write their name down on a list. And then you come before God exactly like the priest in the Old Testament. They're on your breastplate and you release them in your prayer before God. Amen. So this is a great, great service. And in the past, maybe we didn't realize. We thought just going out preaching the gospel or passing out tracts, that's a great service. Or the brothers sharing in the meeting, that's a great service. Or this is a great service. But prayer, the prayer ministry is a great service. Right? So Jim told us during the conference, his mother prayed for him on her knees. Right? So we need to bear ones before God, just like the priest. And then what's the issue of all this? Anna, she got the same revelation that Simeon did. She got to see the Christ. She got to see Jesus, and she knew this is the person. And then she was filled with thanksgiving. And not only that, then she was also, says at the end of that verse there, she spoke concerning him to all those who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So sometimes we know we should speak. We should speak more. We should preach the gospel more. We should speak more. But sometimes it just doesn't seem to well up. So where did Anna get the welling up? She got the welling up in her prayer. She prayed. Then she got revelation. Then she was filled with thanksgiving. And then it just came out of her. She started telling everybody. Right? She saw the Christ. Okay, let's look at the next one. Mary, the mother of Jesus. So, Mary, since I grew up Catholic, I always had an aversion to Mary. I didn't like Mary anymore. After I got saved and I found out, because I used to have to pray to Mary when I grew up. We used to pray, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And we prayed that over and over and over. And eventually I found out, no, Mary is not the mother of God, for number one. And we should not pray to another. There's only one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Okay, but we shouldn't throw a whole lot of mud at Mary. Right? She was actually a wonderful sister. I remember one time we were doing these biographies for junior high kids, and we did one on Mary. I studied Mary, and the more I got into it, I thought, Mary is a really wonderful person, right? She's just not someone you should pray for. In fact, I really like this verse, because Mary said she exalted in God her Savior. And she said the Lord looked upon the low estate of his slave. So Mary is not what people tried to make her out to be. She was a sinner. She had a low estate, just like others. She needed God, her Savior, right? But she prayed in a way depending on the Lord's mercy, and she knew the Lord as her Savior, right? So how about us? When we pray, yes, we want to exercise this ministry, and we want to be bold to exercise this ministry, but we have to come in the way that is right for us. We should realize, Lord, I need your mercy. I come by your blood. Lord, you're my Savior. I need your forgiveness. I need your cleansing. I can't pray without your blood. So we should pray in that way, depending on the Lord's mercy. In fact, we heard in Brother Lee's testimony, somebody asked him, what should you do if you don't have any burden? And I think maybe all of us, I know I've been in that condition sometime. Sometimes you just feel like a stone. You have no feeling, you have no burden about anybody or anything. Right? You know? And so what should you do? We should pray. Brother Lee said, we should pray. Lord, be merciful to me. Right? Enliven me. Give me a feeling. Give me a burden. Give me your burden. Stir up my spirit for your will, for your interest, right? But the way that we come forward to God is by the blood. So every time we come forward, yeah, maybe sometimes we need to take care of the fellowship first, and which may involve the confessing of our sins, right? And seeking the Lord's forgiveness and praying for his mercy. Then Mary also, her example really helps us also realize we need to be filled with the knowledge and love of God's word to help our prayer. So, I think it was George Mueller said, how do we know what to pray for if we don't know the Lord's will? We don't know. Okay? Yes, we're depending on the Spirit to guide us, but the Spirit guides us according to the word. Right? How do we know what the Lord's will is? We have to read the Bible, right? The more we're filled with the word, you look at Mary's prayer. There's only one or two verses here. But if you read Mary's prayer, you find out her prayer was filled with the word. Okay? And she just prayed out the word and prayed agreeing with the word. So if we want to know the Lord's will, we have to read the word. Be filled with the word. Then our prayers, it's a safety for us. We don't want to be just become fanatics and praying fanatical things. We want to pray according to the Lord's will. And the Lord's will is in the Bible. So, I think the brothers have shared with us before, what is prayer? Prayer is our speaking to God, but it's also God speaking to us, right? That's why using the Bible, even in intercessory prayer, just taking a verse or two gives you utterance to pray, and it keeps you safe. You're not praying some wild, strange things. Where'd you come up with that? You know, you say, oh, the Spirit led me, but the Spirit does not lead us to pray something that's contrary to the Bible. Right? So if you take a verse or two from the Bible and pray that, gives you a lot of, Lord speaks to you and anoints you and burdens you by receiving his word, and then you can release that in your prayer to the Lord. Okay, then how about her being? It's really interesting. I think Mary is the only one that said that. She said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has exalted. So if you read the life study, Brother Lee said, has comes first. Her spirit was exercised first. She had an exercised spirit, right? When her spirit was exercised, then her soul could magnify, right? Could make the Lord really great and expressed. Okay, so How was her soul so magnified? Or how did her soul magnify the Lord? You can see it. Her mind was renewed. She was thinking what the Lord was thinking. Right? She was very clear. She was sober, sober mind. Right? And an exercised spirit. So, the word helps us. Right? I always like the verse in Romans 8:26. The Spirit, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit joins in to help us. That's why when we pray, we should open to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what to pray for. I'm opening. Come in, Lord. Help me in my weakness. Join in as the Spirit to help me in my weakness. But the Spirit usually can enlighten or help you remember or recall something to pray based upon what you've been reading. Right? So that's why we need to read the Word. And we need to read the ministry of the Word and get filled with that. And then that helps us in our prayer. Okay, then Mary also continued steadfastly with one accord in prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It's the book of Acts. Actually, I just read yesterday that this is the last mention of Mary in the New Testament. What is she doing? She's praying and not alone. The previous one, she's praying alone by herself, a personal prayer. But here she's praying corporately with the saints, with the 120, praying for 10 days in the upper room. So we shouldn't think, if I pray personally, if I really enjoy the Lord and release all that Lord has touched me with to release in prayer, that's good enough. I don't need to go to the prayer meeting on Tuesday night. You know, that's not true. There is something. You can have glorious prayer time by yourself, but it just still will not compare to the prayer of the church. And last Friday, we had a time over here at the East Hall. And a number of saints joined. Whoa, I thought, wow, this was really good, right? This is something you could pray at home by yourself. That's great, and we should. But there's just something when the church gathers that's so much greater, right? We need the prayer ministry of the church. We need to gather with the saints. So it's a fact. And I'm not here to condemn anybody or to put anybody on the spot, but it's a fact. Our prayer meeting Tuesday night is the worst attended meeting of the whole church. And it's really indicative of our realization of prayer. We don't think it's that important. We think our group meeting's important. The Lord's table, of course, is very important. But the prayer meeting, I'm kind of tired tonight. You know, or I got to take care of my kids. Or I got to do this or I got to do that. Well, yes, we do have kids and we do have jobs. And we do get tired, okay? But we got to fight. We have to fight, right? Whether it means bring your kids to the meeting hall or switch off with others, we should not be that indifferent to the prayer ministry of the church, right? The church is praying. And if you're sitting at home watching TV, you are missing the prayer of the church. Right? And no matter how much you want to rest, I can guarantee you, I've done it before. Missed the meeting, thinking I'm going to rest. You find out. You'll have no rest like you will if you come to the prayer meeting. Right? You come to the prayer meeting, even you're tired. You come to the prayer meeting, you sit there, and by the time the meeting's over, it's just mysterious. You just feel so peaceful and so restful when the prayer is over, right? So we have to fight for the prayer of the church, right? So anyway, we all got kids and jobs and all those things, but we should think about it. You know, we were telling the high schoolers yesterday, you think the Lord is against you and the Lord doesn't want the best for you. You always think, oh, whatever I want to do, probably the Lord doesn't want to do that. And what I don't want to do, probably that's what I should do, you know. But actually, Lord wants the best for us. All right, so we encourage high school, just open up a little bit. Open up. Don't be so set. Don't be already set. I'm going here to college. Open up a little bit. Maybe the Lord wants you to go somewhere else. Right? So we should not be so set. Well, I got this Tuesday night, so I can't come to pray. Well, maybe you should open to the Lord and pray and consider. Is there any way? Maybe you can't come every week, maybe every other week. Can you work it out? Right? And it's not just the elders want the attendance of the prayer meeting to go be higher. You know? It's that you are missing out, right, of the prayer ministry of the church. Amen. If you don't participate. So we should pray corporately. We should pray with one accord, with one mind, and not in opinions. Okay? And it's not very easy to do that. And it's almost hard. How do you pray burdens out and not be opinionated about how things should be? Well, we just have to make sure that our prayer is in line with the Lord's will, with the Lord's word. That's why it's safe. Pray what the Lord's praying. Pray from the Bible. Pray some of these burdens that the brothers listed, right? Because we know that it's possible. Maybe we all have done it. You know, like Mary and Martha in the New Testament, I think it was Martha went to Mary and said, the Lord wants to see you. If you read the footnote, Brother Lee said, probably the Lord did not tell her that. She just gave her opinion, right? So anyway, we need to open to the Lord, open to the Word, open to the Spirit, and try to pray and follow one another. This is what we've been endeavoring in the mornings. We need to learn how to pray corporately. So if Catherine starts praying for the young people at UIC, then I'm next. I start praying, Lord, but you know, they're okay. We pray for the ones at Northwestern. Right? So we start kind of crossing each other's prayers. And, right? We need to learn how to pray in one accord. Pray a matter through thoroughly. Amen. Well, we read, with much and thorough prayer. Amen. So we pick up a burden. Somebody releases a burden. Don't be so quick to just jump here, jump onto this burden, that burden. How about we learn to follow one another? Enter into that burden. Pray it through. Right? And sometimes, not bad. I had a time of prayer the other day, and it stuck to one or two matters. That was it. And I felt like sometimes you want to say, I prayed for this, 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 and this. You know, but actually, it's good. Just pray through something. Just allow the Lord away. Just dwell on it. Open to the Lord. Maybe he wants to pray more for this matter. Right? So we should learn to pray. Brother used to tell us, pray not only with your mouth, but pray with your ears. Listen to one another. Learn to amen. I was touched this morning that, you know, it said when Moses' hands were lifted up, the victory was won. When they went down, the victory, they lost, right? But if you read that portion, some held up his hands. He could not hold up his hands the whole time. So some stood beside him and held him up so he could keep them up. So sometimes when we're praying, somebody's really trying to lift up a burden and pray, and we're not holding up their hands. We don't even amen them, right? So it's good to hold one another up, stand with each other, pray with our mouth and pray with our ears. And amen one another's prayers. Then we need to pray with perseverance. These saints prayed for 10 days. So it's good to continue steadfastly in prayer for a period of time. So if you have prayed and endeavored, I don't know if you ever did this. I do this sometimes. I just pull out my phone, It also has a little clock on it. I set my alarm and try to pray for a period of time. Okay? Maybe 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. And just set it and then set it down. And just pray. And you do that and you find out, well, you pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then you just run out. Okay? Then what? You look at your clock and you think, whew, I got 20 more minutes. All right? So then what? So it's easy. It's easy to just quit. Say, that's it. That's all I got. All right? But it's good to exercise, to open. Maybe when you run out, it's good you ran out. And just open. Lord, what else? What else are you praying for? I open to you. I got to participate in those summertime prayers for 3 days. The first time we went out there, brother said they're going to pray 3 days straight. And we got there. We started at 9 o'clock, and we prayed. Started praying. All the brothers praying. And we prayed for a little while. And then I looked at my watch. It's 20 minutes. I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be something else. How are we going to do this for 3 days? But actually, it's pretty amazing. You just pray. And maybe you run out. That's why it's good to pray with others. You run out, somebody else brings up another burden. And then just learn to pray it through thoroughly. Right? There's no rush. Maybe you don't need to pray for anything else for that whole while. Just pray on that for a while. Right? So George Mueller said one thing. He said, Christians, it's easy to get stirred up and start praying, but it's Christians don't persevere. They quit. Right? So you might think, I got a burden. I want to pray, you know, for the outreach in Chicago. Right? So you pray, and I'm really burdened about this. So you pray for 1 day, and you pray for 2 days, and then about the third day, that's it. You forgot it. And then somebody asks you a week or two later, what about that burden for Chicago, the outreach? Oh, yeah, I forgot all about it. You know? So anyway, we need to persevere. You think these saints prayed 10 days, right? So I think, like Laura shared this morning, our muscles are weak. Our prayer muscles are weak. Right? We need to learn to exercise. Stand with the Lord. Open to the Lord in our prayer. Okay, let's go on to Canaanite. How about you sisters read the Canaanite story there? Okay, maybe we'll go a little quicker here. This woman, the Canaanite woman, she prayed earnestly or fervently. So we should think about it. If your prayer is always like just so laid back and easy, you know, then do you have any burden? Right? This lady, she was earnest. She was fervent. She was not indifferent, right? So we can bring our needs before the Lord in earnest prayer. Like I was thinking last night, we had the junior and seniors in high school join the college students. And I was thinking, these young people are very precious, okay? But you know what? It's a fact. And we don't like to talk about it, but it's a fact. We lose more of our second generation than we gain. It's a fact. Okay? In all that, not just here, all over the whole recovery, we lose so many of our young people. Okay? So I was thinking last night, these young people are so precious. But if you are a parent or you're serving one, you know that they got a lot ahead of them. They got to go through high school. They got to go through college. They're going through this world, this evil, evil world nowadays, and all the things they're confronting. And not only that, even positively, like I came down here yesterday with one of the college brothers from Northwestern. He just joined all these clubs. Now he's so occupied. It's not evil stuff. It's good stuff, right? But he's just so occupied. Anyway, I was just touched again. We need to pray for these young people, right? And pray for them earnestly, right? And actually, I remember reading Hudson Taylor's biography. So touched me. His mother, she went on vacation. I think it was a vacation. She went away for a few days. She went away from her home, 70 miles away, and she locked herself in a room, and she knelt down and told the Lord, I'm not leaving here until you save my son. Right? And she just prayed fervently, right, for her son. And it was so amazing, right, that later on, when she came back, Hudson Taylor, he got saved. Exact time when she was praying. He was at home. He went to his dad's library. He was on vacation too or something. And he went to his dad's library, picked up this little booklet, and he knew it was about the gospel. He liked the stories. He figured, oh, I'm just going to read the story. I know the end. They always preach at me. So he said, I'm just going to read the story. He read the story. He got caught. And the Lord shined into him, and he got saved. Okay? Then he came home. He was determined he was going to tell his mom. She walked in the door, and he's so excited. He wanted to tell her. He said, I have something to tell you. She said, I already know. And he was so upset. He thought his sister told his mom before he did. No, his mom knew because the Lord told his mom that he got saved. Right? Anyway, it's so touching to me. And then he found out later, actually, he happened to run into his sister's biography or diary, and he picked it up. By mistake, I'm sure. And he read it, and he found out, oh my goodness, my sister had been praying for me months. She made a vow. She's going to pray for her brother 3 times a day until he got saved. Right? So then he found out the reason he got saved because of his mom and his sister praying for him. So anyway, another thing here, I was so touched. You know, Brother Lee shared with us Paul's example, that he was beside himself before God, but he was very sober before man. Some of us are just the opposite. We're so frustrated, especially with our kids, and you can express all your frustrations all in front of your kids. Where you should be expressing all your frustrations is before God. And basically, not drive your kids crazy, but be peaceful and depending. Lord, you're going to hear my prayer, right? So we need to pray earnestly. We should be bothered. We should be really burdened. We lose too many of our young people, right? We should pray for them earnestly. Okay. Then she stood as a Gentile dog. She knew she needed grace. She was not one of the children of Israel. and she had an utterance. And this says, God seems to desire that we speak what is in our heart, our burdens. We had a song, our mouth shut up defeats us. Yes, we can pray silently, maybe on a job or somewhere you have to. But it's good most of the time when you're by yourself or with the saints. Open up and use your mouth. Use your voice. Especially you think about it. When you come to the prayer meeting, the purpose of the prayer meeting is not just to sit here all night with your eyes and your mouth closed. That's not praying. Praying is opening up. Open your mouth. Release what is on your heart, in your spirit. Vocalize it. Speak it out. Right? So we need utterance. And we don't have to pray that long. In fact, we've been encouraged a lot. Learn to pray short. Long prayers are not necessary in order to be heard. Look at this Canaanite woman. All she did was pray, Lord, help me.
Amen.
Lord, help me.
Amen.
Okay, and the Lord heard her prayer. D.L. Moody has a very good quote. I like it. He says, most of our prayers need to be shortened on both ends and put a little fire in the middle. It means we pray way too long and there's no burden. All right? So we need fire. We should pray with a burden. Pray what and release what's within us to the Lord in a short way. That actually we could follow each other. Not that we'll never pray longer prayers, but we don't have to. We don't have to. Brother Lee said, you don't have to tell the Lord every little detail about every little thing. He knows. Okay? So we can exercise him by faith. And actually the ministry said, our prayer is similar to negotiating. We need to learn the utterance of prayer. We might pray, Lord, you said. It's not that we're in a fight with the Lord, but we're here reminding, Lord, you said. Amen. You said this in your word. I'm just here agreeing with you, Lord. Lord, you said this. Amen. Lord, your will be done. I'm agreeing. We're agreeing here on earth.
Amen.
Lord, do this. You said you would do this, Lord.
Amen.
Like Lord said, I will build my church.
Amen.
So a lot of times we see a lot of bad things happening around. We need to remind the Lord, Lord, you said the gates of Hades will not prevail. We agree with you. We agree these gates of Hades will not prevail.
Amen.
So we're here. Of course, Moses and Abraham, it's good maybe when you get time sometime, go look at their prayers. Okay, next one is on the woman who touched him. We won't read this for sake of time. We'll just go through the points here. Our goal, you remember this woman? There were so many around in a big crowd, and this woman was determined. She was going to come and touch the Lord and be healed. And she went right through the crowd. She just pressed through. And she touched the Lord. So in the ministry, we're reminded, what is the goal in our prayer? It's not like we read this morning. It's not just to say a bunch of words. We want to press through, touch the Lord.
Amen.
We want to touch him. Right? Our goal is not just confessing our sins, not only interceding for others. The Lord said, come to me. Right? So we want to touch the Lord in our prayer and realize the Lord appreciated this woman. He is approachable. He is happy when some press through and touch him. And he knows when we touch him, something goes out from him. And actually, when we touch him, we are healed. And we're released from all the evil one's oppression. And the Lord gives us peace. And this is my experience on Tuesday night prayer meeting. Sometimes you come to a prayer meeting, you just, I don't know why, sometimes you're filled with anxieties or you might be troubled about this or that. You know, different things. Anyway, you come, you just start breathing out. speaking out your burdens and following the other saints. Maybe you don't have any burden. You just follow the other saints' burdens and learn to pray out what is within you and within the other saints. And in the process, you cannot explain it. You walk away, you're healed. You just feel peaceful. You go home, you're restful. You have very good sleep. And you just feel, wow, prayer really not only hopefully the Lord answers what you prayed for, but the Lord does something to you. The Lord strengthens you and releases you from all the oppression. And he does care for us in his kindness and his sympathy to answer our prayers. Okay, now this last woman here in parable in Luke 18, you can say the previous four women, they're all real women in the Bible. How about the widow in the parable in Luke 18? She was just in a parable. It's not a real person, but actually, she's a real person. You know who she is? She's us. Okay? This widow is us. Okay? And the Lord told this parable for the reason that we ought always to pray and not lose heart, because it's very easy for all of us to lose heart. Right? If we don't see the Lord's answers to our prayer quick enough, or we see all these things happening around us that are not righteous, and we get discouraged, and it's easy to lose heart. Right? So the Lord gave us this parable that we would always pray and not lose heart. Right? And he compared, it's so amazing, the Lord compared himself to an unrighteous judge. And it looked like this judge didn't even want to hear this woman. He didn't care about her case. He didn't care about all the unrighteous things going on around. It looked like he was totally indifferent. And if you read the ministry, the brothers shared that actually, sometimes when we pray, it seems like there's no answer. And you might get the impression, Lord, don't you care, Lord? Are you indifferent? Look what's happening. Look at the unrighteousness. Look at the persecution taking place. Lord, don't you care, Lord? Okay, so actually, I think this story is one of the best stories in the Bible, because the Lord just purposely put this kind of portion in here to remind us and even charge us. We need to keep coming. And to me, I don't like anybody bothering me, you know. But you think about this widow. You know, today we would say she was a nag. She was just nagging. She was just bothering. And the Lord told us that's the way we should be. And I think that's glorious. Right? Sometimes you might think, I'm going to pray for the high schoolers. And you pray for them. You really release the whole burden. And then the next day you come to pray and you feel like the Lord's touching you. Pray for them again. You think, I just prayed for them yesterday. I don't need to pray for them again. But the Bible says we should persist and pray and bother the Lord again and again, and come back tomorrow and come back next week and pray it again. So, you know, this morning we read in Matthew 6 that we shouldn't pray like the Gentiles with vain babbling because of a lot of words they think they're going to be heard. But there is a fact in the Bible, we're not praying vain babbling. And the Lord prayed for something. He prayed three times for the same matter, right? The Lord would remove, the Father would remove the cup from him. And Paul prayed three times concerning a thorn. So it doesn't mean, in Matthew 6, it doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for the same matter over and over and over. We should, right? In fact, here we're told we should be like this bothering widow. Just come and come again and bother the Lord again. Lord, what about this? Lord, what about this? In a sense, you should even feel like you are bothering the Lord, right? The Lord said you should bother him, right? Most of us, we pray for one thing. We say, I already prayed for that, and that's it, you know? But we should pray. So we're as widows, in a sense, believers in Christ are a widow in the present age because their husband, Christ, is absent from them. So Paul said, you know, toward the end of his life, he's desiring to be with the Lord. So that was to go and be with the Lord in a greater degree. Yes, the Lord is with us. On the other hand, he's not with us. He's one day we'll be with him in a greater degree. So on one sense, yes, we are here like widows. Our husband, Christ, is not here with us in that sense. And it's a fact, believers are suffering unrighteous persecution, right? The other day, I rode with a brother, and he's telling me about his family and his kids. And I almost started crying right as I was driving, just to hear the account of what's happened. You know, it's unrighteous, unrighteous. The Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. So we have an opponent, Satan. So we should not be satisfied. I had my morning revival. I'm satisfied. I ate the Lord. I drank. I'm satisfied. That's great. But there's a lion roaring, devouring some of our young people. We need to pray for them. Right? So we need the avenging of the Lord as the judge to procure justice for us. And we need to pray concerning our opponent, Satan, the devil. We need to stand against him. We need to fight. We need to learn how to pray fighting prayers. Right? The brothers share with us in this conference. We need to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. Right? So our prayer time together is not only just for enjoyment and fellowship. We should have a lot of enjoyment and a lot of fellowship. But we should also war the good warfare. We have to fight the good fight. We have to stand against Satan. Right? And we need to persist like a bothering widow, praying persistently for this avenging and not lose heart. Just believe. Lord, I still don't see it yet. I don't see the answer. And I may not see it. Right? Actually, in the ministry, it says God's avenging of us, of our enemy, will take place mainly at the time of the Lord's second coming. We might not see it in our lifetime, right? But the Lord is very interesting. At the end of this parable, he said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So we need some believing. Whether I see it or I don't see it yet, I'm still praying. Lord, your kingdom come. Bring in your righteous judgment on the earth, right? End this age. So we need to pray in faith and pray for the Lord's coming. And hopefully the Lord will find faith. He'll find some believing, praying, still consistently coming to him, bothering him like this widow. And you think about it, the martyrs in Revelation says the martyrs are underneath the altar. They're still crying out. How long, Lord? How long? So you think about it. These ones already passed away. They already lost their life, probably through the unrighteousness and the persecution. They lost their lives already. And they're not giving up. They're still bothering the Lord. They're still coming. They're still praying. They didn't see it in their lifetime. And they're still coming. And they're praying underneath the altar, crying out to the Lord, Lord, how long, Lord, before you will come and judge this earth and deal with your enemy, Satan? Okay, so what should we do? We should join these martyrs under the earth. Join their prayer. And as they're under the earth, we're on the earth, and we're agreeing that his will in the heavens would be done. Okay, so, sorry, it's a little bit long, but maybe hopefully y'all can share something too. So feel free to share something from one of these stories or something has touched you lately or something of your learning to pray both personally and in twos and threes or with the church. Okay, so maybe you can share some burden that you have. share with all of us. Speak loud so we all can hear and be edified. Amen.